We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And with that, we're very happy to welcome in Peter King here to 95.7 The Game. What a week for the 49ers, who wrap up one of the big... Well, I mean, it wasn't ever a concern, really. Of course they're bringing George Kittle back, and of course they're going to get this done before pads start popping in practice. But it did come out in the wash this week. Peter King, good enough to go over the laundry with us, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Hello, Peter. Thank you for joining us, as always.
No problem, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well. A tight end for 15 mil. How's that doing?
Well, you figured that, you know, like if you think about it, by the time George Kittle is in year three of this deal, the salary cap, I assume, in the first year of the of the new network contracts, which I would assume would be about 2022, I think that will end up being a very, very reasonable contract. It'll end up being maybe 6% of the cap on average, maybe 7% of the cap. And you don't want to say, no big deal. But it's like what I say to people about contracts all the time when they say, oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes, $45 million. I say it's Monopoly money. Remember how insane it was, what everybody said? Joe Flacco wins the Super Bowl in 2013. And they make him the NFL's first $20 million a year player in NFL history. And everybody said, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. It's ridiculous. It's awful. Well, now it's 7 years later, and there's an average salary of more than twice that. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It's just, to me, the biggest thing you look at is percentage of the cap. And so comparing his contract to other tight ends, it's something that everybody is going to do, and I understand it. And he did well on the deal, no question about it. But I think once, assuming that he stays relatively healthy, I think it'll be a good deal for him and a good deal for the team.
I don't know what, you know, was causing sort of the delay in getting this done, whether it was just language or arguing about more substantive things. But I wonder if Kittle and his agent weren't originally trying to say, look, I should be evaluated not necessarily as a tight end, but as the most important part of your offense other than your quarterback. And if that was what they did they get what they should have gotten?
You know, I don't know what happened. I don't, you know, Ray, part of the great thing about being 63 years old and covering the NFL for 36 years is that I don't give two craps about contracts. You know, I just don't, because did anybody think for 1 second that George Kittle would not play continuously for the 49ers? I sure didn't. And it's the same thing I feel about almost every contract negotiation. Dak Prescott might be different, but I still think he's going to remain a Cowboy. I just do. But be that as it may, I think that in this particular case, the 49ers recognized how hugely important he is to that offense, because Kyle Shanahan, you know, the underrated thing about Shanahan is that everybody says, oh, my God, great passing offense and all that. And it's like I just spent 2 days at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers camp, and I look at their tight end situation, O.J. Howard, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate. All three of them, any one of the three this year, could be a Pro Bowl player. And what you think of when you think of Bruce Arians is, oh, my God, loves to throw the ball downfield, downfield thrower. And that's basically the same thing that you would say about Kyle Shanahan. But look at what Kyle Shanahan does. He moves the chains. He has a great running game, and he has a great intermediate passing game. He doesn't have to have Deebo Samuel and whoever else stretching the field to be great. It helps, but he doesn't have to have it. He will beat you in a lot of different ways. And I do think, especially if you look at the way every team in the NFL builds right now, there is this tremendous emphasis on being able to rush the passer and on spending huge money on guys who can rush the passer. So what that does to Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, run it and throw it intermediate. And to me, I will think, okay, now you guys might dispute me on this, but if you ask me the biggest single play in the 49ers season last year, I will say the whatever it was, 4th-and-2 play in New Orleans when Garoppolo threw it to the left and all they wanted was a few yards out of Kittle, and what they got was a Mark Bavaro kind of let's drag Ronnie Lott downfield. And I'm exaggerating there because that's not really what happened on that play. But what I'm saying is that that play does so much for a team and did so much to win that game and could have been the difference, quite honestly, between, being the highest seed and maybe being the 5th seed. You just don't know. And so that, to me, is the value of Kittle. And I know I went long, very long with that answer, but I just riffed.
So, given the totality of the Niners offseason, and I think we've seen basically everything now, would you say this team is better, worse, or about the same as Super Bowl Sunday?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. You know, look, I have been one of those people who, last year, I've told this story. I think I've told the story on your air, in fact. But I have been among those people who, when I look at the 49ers, I kind of look at a team that didn't have everything going for them last year. Okay, and you say, well, what exactly does that mean? And to me, I think when you look at the 49ers team last year, the one thing that I believe that they really were missing last year was a guy who, when I left, when I left this training camp last year, I honestly thought last year that Jalen Hurd legitimately could be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. I thought the day I was there, he was the best offensive player on the field. And now he comes back. I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. But just remember, it's not just getting everybody to come back, basically, who you really want to come back, and all that. It's also getting the guys who didn't play last year for whatever reason to come back. And again, I have no idea what sort of factor he will be in this season, but I do think he's going to make this team, in my opinion, significantly better. Now, obviously, you don't want to lose DeForest Buckner. And absolutely, unequivocally, you just don't want to lose a guy who is as good as he is at so many things. But, basically, you made a trade. You got some immense salary cap room and what you believe will be an every-down receiver in Brandon Ayuk. And we'll see if John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are right. I would bet that they are because they have been, for the most part, for at least the last 16 months.
Peter King riffing here on 95.7 The Game. And anytime you want a solo, Peter, you just take a solo, brother. We'll hand you the mic. No problem at all. Tavon Austin and J.J. Nelson, both fast, both disappointments. I'm guessing, if I'm looking to revive what career I might have left, Kyle Shanahan is a guy who's going to get the most out of me. Do you think either of these guys is like a week one contributor?
You know, not having been around them, you know, in the last 2 weeks, I really don't know. But I would bet more that Jordan Reed would be a week one contributor over those guys. But again, I don't know. That's one of those things. You know, look, you are 4 weeks away from opening day. And so to me, when I look at this team, you know, you have to ask yourself, okay, when's Deebo Samuel going to play? I mean, I don't have any idea when he's going to play. But I do think that, you know, without a guy who I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan thought of Travis Benjamin as a 300-snap guy on his team, you know, stretch the field, a good role player for your team. You know, I'm not positive he would have made the team. But, you know, he was a guy who you probably had some plans for, especially after Deebo is gone, you know, as quickly as he is. But, again, I've always looked at Tavon Austin as a guy who is a very, very dangerous player when he's right. And he has had some very big moments in the NFL. But I would not expect great things out of Tavon Austin. I would much rather buy stock in Jalen Hurts.
Is that an indication to you that Kyle Shanahan is a guy who will kick the tires on a lot of guys, but is not necessarily keen on the new guy over the old guy?
I just think it means, look, you know, when I look at any team and how they do their business, okay? You know, like you look at Tavon Austin, for instance. If you're Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you know, I look at it, and I have no idea what they're thinking because obviously this stuff just happened. But when I look at it, I look at it and I essentially say, why not? You know, Tavon Austin at one point, you know, clearly was, and what is he, 29 or 30 years old. You know, when I look at him, you look at a guy who's a first-round pick, whatever, 6 or 7 years ago, who's got tremendous game-changing speed. Kyle Shanahan is about speed. And you just bring him in, and you let him practice for 2 weeks, and you see what happens. And, you know, it's a risk-free venture because basically you're not really paying anybody until opening, unless they're on the opening day roster anyway.
Looking at the league a little more broadly, on Hard Knocks Tuesday night, I thought generally a lot of the virus stuff seemed to be handled pretty well. But one thing that was a little bizarre was, and this is weird, but the swab timing for the test was different for the two teams. And what it made me wonder, and I don't know if that's an example of anything, but what it made me wonder is how specific are the NFL's protocols surrounding the virus, and what is being done to ensure that they're followed?
You know, I didn't notice that, honestly. I thought, are they swabbing both nostrils for each team?
Yeah, both barrels, yes.
And it was 10 seconds for one team and 3 or 4 for the other.
Different. But if it is, that would be weird to me. And if I were the NFL, I'd be looking at that just because BioReference Labs is supposed to have exactly the same protocol for every one of the medical technicians, everyone. So if they see that and they see them swabbing these guys differently, I'm sure they're going to address that. I think one of the interesting things early in the NFL, and you guys watch this because I'll tell you, I was at Bucs practice today in Tampa, and somebody with the team said to me, you know, and I had not thought of it this way, but the more I've thought about it since this influential guy told me, he said, I want you to watch the test results Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because think about it. Now that, you know, because the Bucs basically had a lot of contact at their practice, certainly not full contact at all, because you can't do that yet until you put the pads on. But the Bucks basically were playing at what I might call a little bit more than kind of Pro Bowl tempo. Hands on each other, you know, mini collisions in a pretty serious walkthrough. And so I look at it and I kind of say, okay, now let's see what happens and see if some of the virus shows up more in players like Tuesday and Wednesday, or have they really done a good job in eliminating, all aspects of the virus from players? We'll see that in a couple of days, but I think so far anybody who watches the NFL, you know, which is obviously not in a bubble, would be pleasantly surprised that less than 1% positive tests around the league in the first 10 days.
I saw a report earlier today that indicated that 9 head coaches had tested positive. A, have you seen that? B, if
no.
you have, is it something to be taken seriously, or is it just one of those blind internet reports that people like to splash out there?
I didn't see it. And quite honestly, if they have tested positive, that should be admitted, just like Sean Payton did, just like Doug Peterson did. You know, when my first column back from vacation in mid-July, I went and got a tour of the training facility of the Minnesota Vikings. And basically, the guy who gave me the tour was their infection control officer, Eric Sugarman. And, you know, he was incredibly exacting and all the protocols and everything. And then I leave there, and 6 days later, he tests positive for COVID, you know. So there's nothing, you know, and he absolutely unequivocally, he did the right thing by admitting it. And the Vikings did the right thing by admitting it. But you have to admit that. You can't hide this stuff. So in my opinion, if there are multiple other coaches who have tested positive, we saw that Anthony Lynn admitted on Hard Knocks that he had tested positive. Every coach who's tested positive should step up right now and admit it.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game, and I'm guessing to cover Bucks practice today, you had to go through all of the COVID protocol. What was it like for you to know that you were in face-to-face contact with someone who tests positive? And did you take a COVID-19 test when you found out that you were given a tour in Minnesota by someone who had caught it?
I did. Yeah, I went out. Basically, some medical official for the league called me on Saturday and said, look, don't want you to be alarmed, but Eric Sugarman. So I saw Sugarman on a Friday, and then I went home, and 6 days later, he tested positive. And a day and a half later, somebody from the NFL called me and said, don't want you to be alarmed, but Sugarman tested positive. We believe you're not in any danger, all that stuff. But anyway, I went and got tested the following Monday, and it was negative. So I was fine. But as far as going to a practice now, what's so odd is that there are two ways that the media can go to practice. You either go as basically an everyday, local beat guy, whatever, and then you have to do exactly what all of the players on the team do. You have to be tested, 2 times in a 4-day period or 3 times in a 5-day period. I'm not sure which one they're making the media do. But if you're in what is called 3OA, which is what I'm in, you don't go into the building, you don't have contact, you don't come within 10 feet of a soul the whole time you're there. And so that's really what I'm doing when I go to these camps. I'm going to the Falcons tomorrow, and then I go on to Tennessee and Kansas City from there. But it's obviously a different world. I mean, I interviewed Tom Brady on a video conference yesterday. Bruce Arians, Jason Light, is same thing, and interviewed a couple of guys on the phone. So it's just different, and there's no use complaining about it. I think the NFL is doing the absolute right thing.
Can I quickly ask you, Peter, what have your flight experiences been like in between the cities?
Well, actually, I flew nonstop from JFK to Tampa, and I had a row to myself because people are still not flying. And then I'm driving with a videographer from NBC, and we drove today, this afternoon, just got into Atlanta, and drove the 6 hours from Tampa to Atlanta. We'll drive 4 hours to Nashville, and then we got a longer drive from Nashville to Kansas City. But that's just because we felt better about driving in manageable distances than we did about getting in planes and connecting and doing all that stuff. And then I will fly home from Kansas City next Thursday night. And what I have to do then is no more training camps. I have to quarantine in Brooklyn, New York for 14 days. I can't leave Brooklyn. So hopefully what I get on the road in the next 8 days is pretty damn good, because it's all I'm going to get.
You talking about your quarantine brings me back to the question of the coaches who may have tested positive but didn't say anything. How do we know that they did quarantine? I mean, because a lot of the things about, and this is true in all the sports, is that we're getting numbers from leagues rather than sort of independent entities. And I don't know if there's a way around that, but it just concerns me.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know when Anthony Lynn tested positive. It sounded like it happened at some point this off season. You know, I think he said it on the show, but I've not seen the whole show. I know that he admitted on the show that he did test positive. But anyway, I guess the point I would make is that, you know, if somebody tests positive in May or June, I suppose it's not absolutely vital that they tell everybody, hey, I tested positive. But I do think that it's sort of a truth in advertising thing. That if you have had COVID-19, it's just kind of a fair thing to do to tell everybody that you had it. That's one thing. And as far as, you know, whether people should admit it, what they should admit and all that other stuff, I just believe the only way that you can do this, absolutely the only way you can do it, is to have total, absolute, full disclosure on everything that has anything to do with COVID-19.
See, Ray's got trust issues, so we're always going to have a little problem there. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. Stay safe and sound no matter where you are, and we appreciate your time. As always, have a good weekend.
Good. Read Football Morning in America on Monday, my column.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.